Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to Take Your Bow, a new bite-sized podcast series from the Curtain Call stable that shines a spotlight on the people that make theater happen. In today's climate of increasing isolation, we want to bring you a dose of inspiration. In each episode, we're giving someone in the theater a chance to take their bow, from the seasoned professional to drama students, vocal coaches to the life coaches. Tonight, we're producing the first of our series, Tom Stoppard's play, A Separate Piece, starring David Morrissey, Jenna Coleman, Denise Goff, Ed Stoppard, and Maggie Service, and directed by award-winning stage and screen director Sam Yates. The reading will benefit the Felix Project and those professionals who have found themselves out of work during the COVID-19 epidemic. On today's episode are the show's producers, myself and Matt Humphrey from Curtain Call, and from Platform Presents, Gala Gordon and Isabella McPherson. And due to the time we recorded this in London, Tim Kashani from Apples and Oranges Studios, based in LA, wasn't able to join. Sorry, Tim. This has been one hell of an adventure, and when we set out on this project, it was merely 2 weeks ago. We had no idea how big it would be. All of the producers on this project could not be more proud of the Remote Reads first offering. And it takes a special type of person to be a producer. I'm not blowing our own trumpet here, but we drop everything and make sure everyone else is being looked after for the good of the production. And as you can hear in this episode, we all love it. Right, so let's start at Gala. You're going to kick it all off. What is your name and what do you do?
Hello, my name is Gala Gordon. I am an actress and I'm co-founder of Platform Presents.
Hi, my name is Isabella McPherson and I'm co-founder of Platform Presents.
Hello, I'm Matt Humphrey, photographer and co-founder and now producer at Curtain Call.
My name is John Schwamp. You've heard me before. I am co-founder of Curtain Call and producing alongside Matt and the Platform Presents producers. Guys, and again, let's just go around this and feel free to jump in. That everybody's heard our voices, but we'll try and go in the same order. Gala, when did you know that you wanted to work in theater and other things? I know that you're a multi-hyphenate as well. So when did you know that you wanted to be involved in this?
I was always very strongly attracted to live performance, when I was very young, whether that was with ballet or circus or theater or music. I sort of was enamored by the whole element of performance and the fact that you could bring a great amount of people together in a room and allow them to suspend their disbelief. And I think I was very lucky that my mother was very creative, and so raising me, she would make a very big effort to take me to go and see performances in the West End when I was young. And so I think I got the bug quite early on and then decided that I definitely wanted to explore taking on characters and almost being a vessel to portraying them.
Bella, correct me if I'm wrong, you've come at it from a sort of a sideways angle. Your background is slightly different, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I've always produced with creative people, but I think it's quite important what Gala said, in that you're really affected by your upbringing. And I remember Lynette Linton saying that when she was young, she never went to a theatre. And the first time she went, I think it was Stratford, was when she was much older, and she felt really out of place and awkward. I was fortunate, like Gala, of always going to plays. And we began with musicals from a really young age, and then theatre. And I still go to the theatre with my parents more than anybody else. And that just had a huge effect on me. And the power of words has just been such a huge backbone for my family and my life.
And Matt, how about yourself? I know you've done a few things.
Yeah, but I didn't used to. So unlike Gala and Bella, I didn't really have that upbringing which was focused on going to the theatre at all. In fact, I used to be a teacher, and then about 12 years ago, I came back to the UK having taught abroad, and my brother, who is head of stage, kind of introduced me to the theatre, really. He said, you know, come and, whilst you're figuring out what you're doing, come and work backstage at the Old Vic. And I remember walking in the dock door of the Old Vic and just being completely bowled over and fascinated with the collaborative effort of putting on a production. Because there was like this totally shabby looking old theatre stage and then this beautiful auditorium. And it was almost like these two worlds cohabiting. And I just, that was it for me. I was just hooked. So that was about 12 years ago.
My introduction was when I knew that this was something I could possibly do. The theatre was like second grade, being asked to sing Happiness from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And when everybody clapped at the end of it, I was like seven. And I thought, yeah, this is pretty cool. But I didn't really think of it. I kind of did little school plays and I always enjoyed music. I've always played an instrument. It wasn't until high school where I thought I could possibly do something. And I'm a military brat. So I was overseas in South Korea and was building computers for the US government. Like, it was really weird. Had a secret clearance and everything. Wow. And I fixed security cameras, did all these weird things. But at night, I was at the local theater that kind of entertained the expats and the military personnel. So I was doing 5-6 plays a year, doing something. And then I thought, you know, as most good military brat kids, I thought, I'm going to appease my dad and I'll join the military. I will take my flight aptitude tests. And because my grandfather was a fighter pilot, my dad was a fighter pilot. And I thought, I'll do the same thing because that's what he want me to do. And I took the test and nearly passed it. I qualified to fly for helicopters and for the Coast Guard in that test. But they said, go back and study. You literally, because I didn't, they give it to you blind. You don't study for it. And they gave me a book and they said, you will ace this. And then my dad said to me, John, you would make me the proudest father alive if you decided to go in the military, but you're going to be told to do things that you may not want to do by people who aren't as smart as you. Why don't you go act? You're very good at it. And I was like, it literally hugged him. And that was me, sent me on my way. So that's how I got into it.
Wow.
But you probably took life experiences into it, didn't you?
Absolutely. No, of course. I'm still taking orders from people that...
Also, explains why you're so good at the tech side of this production.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Carla, who inspired you when you realized in your early days, and who inspires you today?
I think that's a really interesting question, because I looked at it last night and I thought there have been so many different people at various milestones in my life. And I think for me, the thing that has kept me going in this industry has probably been a different element from each project that I've worked on. So I knew that to be taken seriously as an actress and to be given the greatest gift of exploring and learning and failing for 3 years, I knew that I wanted to go to drama school. So I worked incredibly hard at the age of 18 to get in. And then probably I would say that the teachers, in particular, a teacher called Christian Burgess at Guildhall, was a huge inspiration to me and pushed me further than I knew I could go. As to Patsy Rodenberg, who's a phenomenal voice coach. And then once I'd had that foundation and that support, I then was lucky enough to work at the Young Vic with Benedict Andrews, who created such an incredible ensemble on set that has stayed with me forever, that's inspired me to then, you know, go on to producing and work in different mediums. So there have been lots of different people in the industry across the way. And then I thought, when I read that question last night, I thought, but aside from industry people, who does really inspire me? And they are some of the greatest girlfriends that have carried me through the hard times, who don't work in acting, who actually are the ones who give you such great advice because they don't know anything about what you're up to all the time. And they're sort of pushing along in their channel. So a variety of different people, but... there obviously are also huge actors that I admire a lot and have followed their careers. And Denise in particular was somebody that I was just sort of in awe of when I saw her in People, Places and Things. And similarly with Minnie Gale, I just think she's an extraordinary actress. And I think that their choices that they make and their vulnerability that they give, whether it's in a rehearsal or on stage, is something that should be... It will be left as their legacy, because their commitment to giving themselves at any cost to a piece of material is something that's sort of infectious and extraordinary, and makes me want to be a part of it, whether I'm an observer or I'm acting opposite them, or just to even be a fly on the wall and watch that.
What a great answer.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Great
no pressure, answer. Bella. Go for it.
I think for me, it's always been the words, I think. So I started with my English teacher and she was absolutely mad about Shakespeare and she was really quite horrible, but she was really passionate. So she made us all work really hard and she inspired me to really get into writing and reading. And then when it came to theatre, when I started going to the theatre, it was mostly men. So it was obviously Shakespeare, but then Henrik Ibsen and Tennessee Williams. And I remember so clearly, it's funny because of our what we're doing tonight, this production with Tom Stoppard, I remember seeing Arcadia and I remember seeing Indian Ink with Felicity Kendall and they really stayed with me. And also people like Alan Bennett at the National. In terms of who I'm inspired by now, it's really probably more the women who've now forged a path that they hadn't done it before. So Rebecca Lenkowitz is a fantastic writer. She had the first play on the National Theatre on the main stage in 2008, which is quite disturbing. It was so late. Also people like Lucy Prebble and Polly Stenham or Lucy Kirkwood, I think are fantastic writers and have done really well. Actually, Polly Stenham we've worked with. Also Nina Raine, who'll be watching tonight. She's bought her tickets. Great playwright. Nice. And then some of the women we've been working with recently. So Mary Laws, who we produced her play in 2017, and then she went to work on Succession, and now she's just done her own TV show for Hulu. And then two of the young writers we are working with now, one is Leah Gasson, who won our Playwrights Prize last year, and we're now making a film with her. And the other one is Phoebe Eclair Powell, who was a runner-up for our Playwrights Prize, but we're hoping to work with her on a project sometime in the future. So it's really the heart of all of this for me is the writers and the words that they infect us with and inspire us with and challenge us with.
Matt, same question to you, man.
Yeah, I fear that my answer is not going to be as erudite or as eloquent as either Gala or Bella's answers. Who's inspired me and who before and now? When I was growing up, it was probably Michael Jordan, to be honest. So not anybody within theatre at all. I had a great English teacher at school, Jim Scouse, who really kind of introduced me to the power of literature and the power of good writing. So I guess that was kind of there from an early stage, or at least when I was in my formative years, I guess. In terms of who inspires me now, I'm inspired by the women in my life, my wife and my daughter. And I guess in a theatre setting, I'm inspired and I'm very grateful to my brother, Tom, for introducing me to the theatre in the first place, really, and having such a good work ethic. In fact, you may have seen on some of the calls, this happened last night, quite a few of the guys that we're working with have worked with my brother in a theatre setting before. And John, you've seen us over the years. They kind of slip into calling me Tom instead of calling me Matt. Because I guess we sound quite similar, but yeah, no, I'm really grateful to him, and he's inspired me to work hard. My family have always been grafters, so yeah.
Well, what about you, John?
Thanks, Gala. You're very good at this. When I started out, I think my inspirations were I kind of grew up on. I lived in Chicago growing up, so the people that made me laugh. So honestly, this sounds crazy, but Bozo the Clown on WGN Channel 9 in Chicago, just like he just always chuckled me. I woke up every morning and watched him before school, and people that could make me laugh have always inspired me, and thought that's kind of what I did in school as well. Is I just wanted to entertain. I mean, when I thought this could be a thing, the Yongsan Performing Arts Center in Seoul with Larry Chandler, like who gave me my wings and went, you know, this is something, John, I can see that you're passionate about theater. This is something you could do. Go do it. But, you know, and then who inspires me now? And it will always be my hero, Papa Schwab, my grandfather. I'm not going to cry. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm tearing up. I have his name, and I feel like I have an angel on my shoulder wherever I go. He is my hero. I have been through, Matt knows, I've been through ups and downs and lights and lows, and he's always been there. But I also have to echo my mother and my wife are two of the most incredible people, and I don't know how they do what they do, putting up with the John Schwabs in this world. But they are my heroes, and they inspire me to be better every day. Definitely. Okay, enough. And here's, as a segue into that, what do our families think of our jobs? You don't have to necessarily go in order, guys. Let's just throw this out there. What do our families think of what we do?
Can I start with a funny anecdote?
Yeah.
So my sons are thrilled with it because it's drama and acting, and they think that I'm going to be on Batman. But what they do every morning, literally every morning, is they go to Alexa. They go, Alexa, who's Gala Gordon? And Alexa goes, Gala Gordon is an actress, Argentinian. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on for ages. And they go, Alexa, who's Isabella McPherson? And Alexa goes, I have no clue. I've never heard of her. She doesn't do anything. Don't ask me useless questions. And their thing is that when I get onto Alexa as a producer, that I will have arrived. But they love it. They love it. My parents adore it as well because they love to come to the theatre. Everyone's very supportive.
Matt?
What do my family think of my job? I think the first question is probably, what is it that you do? Because I've flipped between being a photographer and running Curtain Call, really. I think that they're very supportive of whatever it is that I choose to do. And I would say that they're probably quite surprised quite often by the projects that I get involved with, in a good way. But yeah, hugely supportive. I'm lucky in that respect.
Yeah, I feel very lucky because I feel like I've grown up in a sort of creative household and have always been drawn to people who express themselves through art or music or theatre. But John, you'll know this more than anyone. As an actor, you have to be quite careful as to who you choose as your confidant.
Yeah.
Because when you tell them how much work you've done for an audition and then you don't win the job, they often respond going, oh, just get a normal job. Ugh. Just get a normal job, get a salary, be able to pay your rent. So you have to be quite selective.
Yeah.
Because you then can sometimes be clouded by people who want the best for you and don't want you to experience that rejection. So can often say, just chuck it in and do something else. But I feel very lucky in the sense of, I would say that my friends have a great understanding of what I'm trying to do.
And Gala can currently be seen in the TV show just out, Bulletproof, on Sky One. She's obviously, you're achieving so much. You should never give up.
No, listen, here's the thing. I don't ever say, no, I will go back on that because I used to say I'm just an actor until I realized, hold on a second, by saying just, I'm demeaning myself. I say I'm an actor and I do a ton of other things. But when everyone says, oh, I'm just an actor, I say, just take the just out. Take the just out, because it just, anyway. Yeah, my
like just a mother.
Yeah, exactly, Bella. Yeah. Oh, God. I've got another four-letter word for you. My parents are proud. You've heard what I said. And my in-laws didn't get it at first because they didn't have any real creative people in the family. You know, they were military people, but they're super, super supportive. And Matt knows how much they've supported us and me over the years. How important is being a multi-hyphenate and multi-skilled in today's world, especially now that we aren't allowed to go out and do the things? We have to be who we are, where we are.
I think two things, really. I think one, from my experience of being an actress, but now also being a producer, the language that you use obviously is a lot broader. You have a greater understanding of everybody creatively involved and you can empathize. So you can jump into their shoes and you can also find almost like a thread of being able to help communicate and orchestrate all the different departments, almost like a piece of music. So you just have a greater understanding of being able to assemble the pyramid that you're trying to do with the production. So I would always say to people that it is, you're not, as you just said, you're not just one thing, and you should always you know, step over your fear and try directing or try writing, or, you know, you're not just in one box and each bleeds into the other and helps the other. And the other thing I would say is that if not now, when? Now is such a brilliant time to be trying all of these things. You know, you look at how many female actresses have their own production companies that are championing female-led stories that need to be told. I think that as a society, and in particular for my generation, everybody is a lot more accepting now of people trying lots of different things. So it's a great time to give it a go and jump in at the deep end.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. The empathy is just so important. And by having experience of different elements of a production has really enabled me, us all in this current production that we're working on, to understand better how the team can work together and how each of the moving parts can kind of fit in, basically. So I think being multi-skilled, not just within the context of the current project that we're working on, but just generally within our society, is absolutely crucial, because it enables us to have that empathy, basically.
To add to that, I think it's really important that you obviously, while paying the bills, do things you're really passionate about. And if you are passionate about them, you're going to work the extra mile, and it's going to make a huge difference to your life, because you'll feel more fulfilled. And I think Gala and I really have that. Secondly, I think to add to Gala's, you need to be fearless. And we always have this thing that we say when we're trying to do something, we want to reach someone, we want to do, or we want to contact someone slightly out of our reach, we go, what's the worst that can happen? So you should walk into meetings and projects and phone calls fearless. And also, you should also not be afraid of your own ignorance. So one of the greatest things about this project that we've been working on is the learning curve. And I'm still not entirely across all the technical side, because it's been so eye-opening and unfamiliar. But it's really important to admit where you're ignorant and ask questions and try and learn every day. And that will just make you a better person and more able to cope. So coping with change is also really important.
Well, I love that answer, Bella. I always go in, when I go in and teach at drama schools and things, I say there are no silly questions. The most stupid question is the one that isn't asked, because it never has a chance to get answered. It's absolutely true.
And tonight especially, sorry, we're just, this is a world first. There are new frontiers. So anybody watching hopefully will understand that. And there may be things that don't go right, and there should probably be, because they can't get it perfect first time, and we should rejoice in those kind of potential mistakes. But it just is so exciting to be doing that, and I think every time it will get better.
That's what we said in our first production meeting, wasn't it? We got together and said, guys, look, we don't know exactly how to do this yet, so ask questions, because that's the best way of finding the answers. And we're going to work through this together, and we're going to figure this out together. And here we are. That was only 7 days ago, guys.
Yeah, well, listen, what a great segue. You guys are doing so good. Let's talk about how we're spending our days. I mean, because this is ridiculous. How we spent, and literally it is only on this production, the last 8 days. But it is, you know, it's been 2 weeks since we kind of first talked to each other. And then we were still trying to figure out what. We knew the why, we didn't know the what.
Can I answer that first?
Yeah, sure.
So I set my alarm at 5:30, and then I answer 50 emails from Matt and John and Kevin. and then I go to the loo, and then I come back and I answer the next 50. then I homeschool for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then I sit on Zoom for many hours learning, like an uphill curve, learning from all of you about this amazing project and laughing and loving it. And then about midnight, I go on email and I answer 50 emails from Matt and John. Go to sleep. Answer 50 emails from Matt and John. Go to sleep.
Oh.
It's amazing.
What a great answer, man. That's great.
I'm going to give the flip side to that. So I wake up at, what time do you say? 5:30? You work.
Yeah.
But I wake up at 5:25, write 50 emails. shortly after that, my daughter wakes up. So then it's daddy daycare whilst my wife gets ready to work. And then we're like ships in the night. We just pass each other going in and out of the office. So one of us is looking after Willow, one of us is working. I sit down, put Willow in front of the television for 5 minutes, write 50 emails to Gala and Bella. And really, it just goes back and forth. it's just been crazy. The whole week has been a blur. The whole 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long this has been. But it's hugely exciting. I love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
I think what's amazing is that without even recognizing it, we've now written the Bible for how you do it.
Mm.
We have the infrastructure that we can, you know, keep repeating, but we can also pass on to others, which is very exciting.
It's exciting, yeah. And important to be able to do that. Yeah. Matt and I were talking about this morning is people are going to watch this and go, I didn't know you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to be able to go send the elevator back down and say, yes, you can do that. There's never been a better time for new writing, for new voices, for everything else to be heard and go, hey, this is possible. And the working with you guys, the best thing to kind of get Platform Presents curtain call, apples and oranges. We all bring different proficiencies to a project and you ask questions that their most obvious thing can be sitting right in front of your face. Because you're trying to look around it up there, you guys may say something like, have you thought about this? You go, oh, God, yeah, of course. Because we would have forgotten it. But that's why you need people with you, beside you, to kind of carry you through things on a daily basis. Because I have my 12-year-old here who is going, Dad, can you sort this out? And my wife works full-time at ITV. She's just like Matt, just like you, Bella. And we're all, you know, with kids, you just have to, you have to address that, or else we wouldn't be able to sit down here and do this.
Yeah.
And Gala, I know that you're still doing things. You're having to do press. I'm still acting. I'm still doing voiceovers. I'm doing things that self-taping, whatever, because at some point we are going to get out of this. I guess the day's just got a little bit busier. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. All I would say is I haven't, like many people, learned Japanese, become an amazing chef, you know, all these amazing skills that I was meant to pick up because work and home has been so mental, but it's been really good.
I know how much sugar I can eat in a day, which is why today I'm going on a sugar-free diet for the month, which I haven't done before. But I've said to Matt this morning, I've taken eating sweets and chocolate and all crap to another level that is not good. Okay.
So
just a couple more questions before we get into the quick fire ones. Guys, what cast album, if you had to throw every one of your other cast albums away, I'll ask you first, Gala, what cast album would you self-isolate with?
You mean the musical?
Any musical cast album,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a musical fan.
That's okay.
So I'm going to say that I just have Disco on repeat.
Disco on repeat. Is there a disco musical out there?
Recently, I discovered some very old tracks by Candy State and one in particular called Victim, which is 7 minutes long and can bring you out of your COVID-19 slump and get you dancing in a second.
All right. Okay, I'll give you a pass. But not you, Bella, because your partner passed. You have to answer the question.
I just have the answer. It's absolutely clear to me. So when I was a little girl, I went to see Chess, the musical, and I recorded it on my tape recorder, and I walked around the garden for like 3 years singing the songs because I thought it was so fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's always stayed with me.
It is such a... I'm a huge Chess fan, and it's... I mean, it is often on in the house. And that recording with Elaine Page is
amazing. But also the set was amazing. There were 128 tellies down the side and 64 in the middle.
Wow.
Do you not remember that?
I didn't see it.
So while they were playing chess in the middle of the game, the chess pieces were moving across the television. It was amazingly realized as well. And the songs were just fantastic.
Matt, what about you?
I don't own a single cast album, but if they were to have made a cast album from The Big Lebowski, then that would be my cast album.
I normally hold people to task on this, but because it's us, we're allowed to change the rules.
Oh, a special treatment for the producers.
I know. I think, I mean, for me, it so changes. But I would say these days, and because it was Sondheim's birthday recently, I'm going to go with Assassins because I just think it's just the story songs in there are... It completely takes you on a journey throughout time, and it's super dark, and it's wonderful, and you know, there is not really a better lyricist than Stephen Sondheim. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda is great, but he learned from the master. Let's go to some quickfire questions, guys. The last thing, and I think what we'll do to make it just to go around in a circle. So we'll do the Gala-Bella Matt John quickfire questions, which are just a this or that. There are only 10 of them, so there are no wrong answers. Just like there are no wrong questions. And then we'll end up with where people can find us online. Gala, movies or theater?
Theater.
Bella, Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
Matt, Tom Stoppard or William Shakespeare?
Stoppard.
you had to say that. My question is Broadway or West End, and I am going to say West End. Gala, clotted cream or jam first?
Jam.
Okay. The look on Bella's.
I like butter as opposed to cream.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
Oh my god.
That's especially a hard question when you have a vegan, because the shock on their face is incredible.
I'm glad you didn't ask me.
Exactly. Bella, Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, Netflix.
Okay. Matt, Cinderella or Snow White? You've been watching a lot of Disney Plus.
Well, this morning I was Prince Charming to my daughter's Snow White, so I'll have to go with Snow White today.
Okay. My question is Wicked or Les Mis, and I'm going to say Wicked. Dogs or cats, Gala?
Dogs.
And last one, Bella, Stephen Sondheim or Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Stephen Sondheim.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much, everyone. This has been fantastic. But before we go,
oh, I loved it.
Can we do some socials? Where can people find Platform Presents and also personally online? So if they want to follow your stories, if they want to see what you're up to, please do give out all your socials.
Our Instagram is at Platform Presents. Our Facebook is Platform Presents. Our website is www.platformpresents.com. I think that's just about it, girls, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where can people, Bella, where can people find you personally? And Gala, where can people find you personally?
You can find Gala Gordon under Gala Gordon. You can find Isabella McPherson under Isabella McPherson on everything, really.
And Matt, you can do the socials.
So Curtain Call is just at Curtain Call, which is pretty simple. But my photography Instagram is at Matt Humphrey Images.
And John, what about you?
Well, you can find me at John Schwab, JohnSchwab, all of them. except for like TikTok, Snapchat. Look, you guys can't see Gala's busted some shapes over there, as the old people say.
I can see it.
But guys, thank you so much. I am so happy that you guys decided to come along on the ride with us and for your time today. And, in your busy schedule, I literally said, can I have another hour? And I absolutely appreciate it. So looking forward to tonight, seeing the fruits of our labor come out, and it's going to be amazing.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, John.
I mean, on the project and today.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
The producers of the Remote Reads first production, A Separate Piece by Tom Stoppard. And those producers are me and Matt Humphrey from Curtain Call and Gala Gordon and Isabella McPherson from Platform Presents. The live performance takes place tonight, May 2nd, 7 p.m. London time, 2 p.m. New York, 11 a.m. L.A. And it's a one-off. If you don't have a ticket, you don't get to see it. It won't live anywhere online. You can donate any amount to watch or purchase a ticket for A Separate Piece by visiting theremotereed.com. Special thanks to our U.S. co-producer, Tim Kashani at Apples and Oranges, for being our tech wizard. Our equipment sponsors for the series are Shure and Zoom, and we are supported by the Schubert Organization. Join us soon when another theater professional somewhere around the globe will be taking their bow. See you tonight in the auditorium. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.